Mr. DiCarlo, Mr. Liu, do you want to walk us through?
Sure, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Hello.
So, Finance Director Liu will talk about our capital improvement plan process and take any questions that the council may have on exactly what we're doing and how we do it.
So, at the December 6th council meeting, we discussed what would be beneficial for council to know about the process. And what we took from that was that council wanted to know when citizens have the opportunity for input on projects, what the status of finished, ongoing, and future projects are, and to basically get an overarching discussion of the CIP process. And so I think on August the 16th, I believe, we had sort of a refresher on the CIP, and so this will sort of supplement that conversation. So we put together a short presentation to show the current process for citizen input, as well as we prepared a document that lists all the projects completed in fiscal year 21, current and ongoing projects, and future projects. So I have a handout from the August 16 meeting, just sort of as a refresher to everyone. So our current process for citizen input include the administrative public improvement process, which is outlined in section 22-72 of the Code of Ordinances. The second one is project public hearings.
Oh, thank you.
And then we have CIP public hearings and budget public hearings. And then finally, board and commission meetings that discuss CIP projects such as water and light board or planning and zoning commission. So those are some places where citizens can put input on the CIP process.
Can you
Yes.
I should know all of these, I'm sure. That administrative, what do you call it? Whatever, if you go back one. The administrative input, what is that? Your first slide, or your second slide.
That's sometimes at the end of a council meeting, we get a report where they ask for permission to use the administrative public improvement process because it's less than $25,000.
Okay.
They're using in-house staff, or we're replacing a swing set or something.
Okay, so that doesn't really have any citizen input except for us.
Griggs uses that the most, I would guess.
And he probably, okay.
They're usually smaller projects, like the mayor said, under 50,000.
50, thanks.
Yeah, it's like you said, it might be a small playground replacement or things. There's no public improvement, like redoing the carpet at the golf course clubhouse. You know, people, you know, there's the HVAC unit at the R, you know, stuff
okay.
like that. That there's some small stuff that there's really not a public improvement process to go through because there's, well, basically they just want to have a new carpet. So
okay, thanks.
So, sort of looking at that, our first look is going to be at Parks and Rec. There are numerous user groups and industry party meetings that Parks and Rec has. I don't know, did you want to speak a little bit about them?
I can go through it pretty quick if
okay.
you want.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All of our CIP really generates out of our Parks Recreation Open Space Master Plan that was improved in 2013. You know, leading up to that, we had probably the largest amount of public input in developing that plan. It's a comprehensive plan, lays out projects for us, over 20 years worth of projects. So, not everything in that master plan will get built, but certainly if it's not in there, it would be difficult to get built. And so you can see some of the things we did to do it. We look at renovations, improvements, you know, like adding something to an existing facility. Of course, a new park, a new facility. Like adding the sports field house at Phillips Lake Park. That's a new facility to an existing park. And then we look at ideas, areas for a new park, an open space acquisition, and new trails development, including easement. And so then we take those and we propose those into the ballot, to the our ballot issue and to incorporate to the CIP. Go ahead, Matthew. And then after that, you know, we put together the park sales tax. You know, when we do that, there's a resolution that lists all the projects to be funded. There's all kinds of public input on that, very similar to our master plan development, including interested meeting with our user groups, et cetera. And ultimately, you count, as members of the council, you have a public hearing on the list of projects. We had a really good debate this last time to prepare it, and so that. So our next step is we're working on right now with the implementation schedule. We have our projects outlined for FY22. What we're looking at is 23 and beyond, and so we're working on that plan right now. We're going to present a draft to the commission in January. They'll have our public hearing on that, and then we'll have maybe a work session with council pending the schedule and DeCarlin's review of what's available for that time frame. But ideally, we'd come back to you for a public hearing and approval of the implementation schedule sometime in February or March. And that would be in time for the development of the next CIP. So, and then once the projects are funded, then each individual project, we come back and repeat the same process for each individual one. So just because it was approved in the master plan and we go through the implementation schedule, each project will then have its own public input part. So we'll have an IP meeting. We usually do it at the park or at a facility nearby. We always do a survey. We at least do it a minimum of 2 weeks, an online survey. We take it to the Parks and Rec Commission for their input. And then we may reach out to other commissions, such as Bike and Ped for a trail project, or Energy and Environment for some other projects. And then eventually it comes before you as a public hearing. And at that time, you authorize a project to proceed. And in most cases, since we do a lot of the work with our own staff, that's our time to go. And we will indicate whether or not we're bidding anything through purchasing at this time.
So the next opportunity we want to talk about for Public Works and how they sort of do it. So. Shane?
Sure. Ours is pretty straightforward. We have an interested parties meeting. We're required to hold at least one. We sometimes hold multiple depending on the project scope. Citizens are encouraged to provide written comments at the meeting and or via email. Then you'll see a public hearing, resolution adopted by council prior to the public hearing declaring the necessity for the project. You'll see us come forward at times for acquisition of property. That's an ordinance passed by council authorizing staff to begin negotiations for the property necessary to construct the project. And then a bid call, ordinance passed by council approving plans and specifications authorizing construction.
Next group is utilities, which basically work off the master plan. As well as the other groups, they also have interested party meetings. I don't know, Dave, did you want to talk a little bit about
something? A lot of our projects identified through master plans have been developed over time, such as a stormwater, wastewater integrated management plan, our recently completed electric master plan and resource plan. Got different plans for that. That's where a majority of the projects come from. Some of them are also identified by, you know, staff in the field doing maintenance work and finding something that needs to be replaced. And we follow basically the same process Shane described, where we had interested parties meetings and public hearings, and then it's usually followed up with easement acquisition if necessary and a bid call. We don't do very much of the work in-house. One caveat there with water and electric is there's a lot of work done, capital project work, as part of developments that with the agreement the developer signs, we don't do the public process on those because it's approved as part of the subdivision process, which is kind of different than the other groups.
And then finally we have the airport. So on that, Stacy.
Okay.
Comment on that.
Thanks, Matthew. So the airport goes through a master planning process. The last one we did was in 2009. Normally, our master plan has about a 20-year horizon on it, and it's in coordination with FAA. And so FAA does fund our master plan 90%. We expect our next one to be conducted in 2023. We did just complete the last project in that, I'd say last month, just a few days ago in December, and that was the extension of runway 220. Our citizen input process, again, similar to what Shane and Dave and Mike said, we follow that same process, basically with interested parties, meetings, public hearings, and then big calls. One thing that's important to note with the airport, because so many of our projects are driven by FAA funding, because we're in the millions and tens of millions. So each year we submit an annual airport CIP list to FAA for their approval. And that has a 10-year window normally on it, so that we can get in the planning process for their funding cycles. So that's a little bit different in terms of our planning process, but outside of that, we follow the same citizen input opportunity.
And so, lastly, we have the handout of the projects completed in fiscal year 21, current and ongoing projects, and then future projects. So has everyone seen those?
Mm-hmm.
I'll pass a sheet around just in case. I know there are a lot of questions about opportunities for citizen input. Is there any discussion?
So if a neighborhood has a continuing problem, and usually it's about stormwater or sewer, I think about West Ash and some of the difficulties that they have had. I already have my oops, that's mine. How did they get into this process? I mean, when is it that, if we were to advise a citizens group how they bring their concern, which ultimately ends up as a capital improvement project, to the city, what's the path there?
I think that is where you would have your comments either at the beginning or the end of a council meeting to make you aware of those, and then am I correct in that?
Then you would
instruct us to look into it or to do something to solve that issue.
Does the neighborhood have to collect enough information to justify it order to get into that process?
Well, I think they just need to bring us that there's an issue, and then we'll investigate the issue. So, Cyril has a.
There's a couple different processes where there's a petition process that a neighborhood could complete,
mm-hmm.
turn that in,
mm-hmm.
and that would identify a project that we would follow up by taking. If you want to use like a private common collector or sewer district type project, we can take that to council and say, hey, this has been requested, can we begin work on preliminary design such as that? You know, oftentimes, if a neighborhood property owner calls and we'll go out there sometimes, like you get over on our deal, or we'll go out there and all the sink will show up, and now we've got a project identified that is all based on this. And if we get out there and find out we've got a significant problem that's not just digging up, replacing 10 foot of pipe or something, then it's going to turn into a public issue to bring back to you.
How often do citizens start that with the petition process? And is that in any particular part of our code that
it's
describes
the,
it?
It's in the section 22 of the code, mm-hmm. specifically for sewer.
Mm-hmm.
I would have to go back, I don't know off the top of my head how often it gets turned in, you know, historically. I know we've got projects out there, you know, the list is long.
Oh, of course, because we have a lot of things that deferred.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a couple of methods that are relatively, I think, simple or straightforward for a citizen, you know. Sinkhole shows up in your backyard, mm-hmm. you just pick up the phone.
Yeah.
At least for that part.
Mm-hmm.
Of things.
Does it usually require the citizens get a petition going, or is that?
That's specific to sewer.
That's specific to sewer.
For private common collectors, okay. Sewer districts.
Okay, because it seems like if there's a problem, we just tell you about it and
yeah.
It gets on the list. It
I mean,
doesn't.
I mean, those that the
but the private
process
sewer
is required for those okay. Two specific projects.
Okay.
And that's just examples.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, there's been like residents who have called and complained about speeding cars in their neighborhood, and yeah. That leads to, you know, Public Works going out to take a look at the neighborhood, you know, the process in order to do some traffic mitigation or traffic calming. So it comes from just the staff getting input from the residents or council getting input from the residents, and that gives us the direction to study the issue and bring forth a solution for it.
So, DeCarlin, Mr. Steven, we have a process underway now in West Ash that we've secured a consultant to look at some of the traffic issues there. And the residents, of course, have their own particular view of this because they want to have a walkable neighborhood where their kids can cross the street and walk to school, among other things. So is that process, is there any way for the neighborhood associations and groups of citizens to get more actively involved in that process as part of, I mean, eventually it ends up on the CIP because it will exceed whatever dollar threshold. But I think there's a feeling, and I remember this from my days as a neighborhood association leader, that by the time we as neighborhood people get to talk about it, it's already further along and our input doesn't feel as taken into consideration. So what's the advice that you give to a neighborhood association in those instances?
Well, that's happening, and we need to hear about that. Because part of the process should be that as we're going out to study it, we're talking to that neighborhood about, here's what we're looking at here. Tell us what the issue is and help us design an issue. Help us design a solution to fix that issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so the residents should be involved in that process at the very beginning, and then they should get a report back on, here's what we're looking at before we bring it forward to the city council. And so if we're not doing that, then we need to kind of retool some of the things we're doing.
And a good example of that, I think, was the was what happened with the West Broadway plan. And that was, it was quite far along, and there were lots of drawings, and it was actually on the table, and there were some public meetings and so on and so forth. And the neighborhoods, the West Broadway Neighborhood Association, I think there might have been a couple of them, and then there was also another West Broadway, one of the neighborhood associations really opposed this whole idea whether or not to increase the width of the road to four lanes, and there was even an argument about three lanes and a road diet and so on and so forth. Eventually, nothing happened because it was successfully challenged by a lot of the neighborhoods to the extent that that project was really abandoned. And that was after a considerable consultation from some of the consultants and so on, and a good deal of work that was done on drawing the plans, or prospective plans for the potential.
So one comment I have is, as it relates to some of our commissions and boards, and I know that, well, I mean, that's another, you know, opportunity for, you know, some citizen engagement, and you know, those are citizens that we've appointed, you know, and oftentimes they are, you know, engaged and passionate about whatever the subject matter is. So, for example, you know, Parks and Rec, I know, you know, that's sort of built into their process, and, you know, when it gets to us, it's, hey, we had this discussion with Parks and Rec Commission, and, you know, this was some of their feedback, and, you know, that was part of it. And I know that Amy's done that with her sports commission, but we've got a lot of boards, you know, and, you know, I'm always reluctant to introduce ideas that might slow processes down even more, but if there's a way to build it in to some of the scheduling, like some of these other groups have done, I mean, you know, whether it's water and light with, you know, some of the CIP projects there, you know, the airport board, I mean, I'm sure there are several others as well, and they have different statutory authorities and things like that. But I think that, you know, the more that happens, you know, again, that's additional you know, sort of engagement feedback, you know, that is in there. So when it doesn't happen, you know, sometimes I'm like, well, did you go talk to Water and Light Board about this? Or if not, why not? Right, you know, that kind of thing.
So is there anything else that you want to hear from staff about the CIP process? Is there additional information you need? I think from here, what we planned on doing was taking this presentation along with the handouts for the projects and the presentation from the 16th and making sort of a packet for you and maybe refreshing it quarterly so you can have that information. Is there anything else that you want from us?
Could you, where there is a master plan, like I'm late to the game learning about the sidewalk master plan, but where there's a master plan that's been worked on and exists, could that be part of this presentation so that the community members and council people know, oh, there's a master plan, so go find that first and see what that teaches us about how to get our concern into the pipeline so that it can be put on the CIP and fixed. Because I think there's a lot of master plans. Sure. I could not name them all off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's a good point. We can do that.
Thank you.
Well, and one of my thoughts, and I'm not sure how this might be close to what Ms. Fowler's asking, but I'd like to know, like, what the costs are. So I guess maybe that goes with the master plan. You know, like we've got this airport, and what's the master plan? And then this has been done, so how much money have we spent on that, and what's still outgoing? I'm not sure exactly how to describe that. I don't really want, like 10 columns. That's not very helpful to me. But, you know, are these little projects or big projects? The same with the sanitary sewers. You know, if we finish that out of the master plan for sanitary sewers for the next 5 years, how much of these are done? And maybe there's another report for that.
The amounts budgeted are in the CIP, but the amounts that we've spent on the projects, and I think that's kind of what you were getting at, how much we've spent on any certain project. That's something that we could do with this with that project listing. Just maybe make it a table and just have the whatever the project is and then a dollar amount on what was actually spent.
Yeah, I'm trying to find some way to get a better handle of how much money has been used, and I'm not sure if this is the right place or if there's a different master plan. So I just put that out there. I don't really know.
Yeah, I think there's something we could do. There's, you know, we have the capital project list that should list all our capital projects and where they're at in the process. And so from that, we should be able to put, well, this is where it's at, this is what we spent thus far, mm-hmm. and this was remaining in that capital project.
Okay.
And so it's just, it may be adding a couple more tabs to that, but okay. I think we can get there.
Okay, thanks.
And the CIP plan or document shows expected amount and whether it's funded, and even for ones that are like way out in the future,
yes, sir. Yes.
Like anticipate, right? Okay.
Or listed as non-funded in some cases,
right?
Some
yeah.
Which is fine too, as long as we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, 6 years ago, there was probably a tendency that if, oh, something was controversial, or if we didn't want to fix something, the mm-hmm. default would be, well, let's just put it on the CIP mm-hmm. with no funding.
With no funding.
And it would languish there, and staff doesn't really know if we're really there's no council support for it, and do they bring it forward? And I don't get the sense we're doing that anymore. At least I have confidence that I haven't seen this council do that.
Right.
And the other concern that I had with the dollar amounts is that, you know, we have a rough estimate of what a project would cost, and say we come in below that, is that a paper windfall? When does council get alerted to that we save money? It just gets rolled into another project.
Yeah.
From an appropriations and an appropriator's perspective, when does council get the input to say, we don't think that extra $1 million should be in streets, we should move it over to something else or general revenue?
So if it's something that is not bond related, those funds cannot move without your approval. And so some of that is what you see at the end of council when you see those
transfer
funds. The transfer funds. And so that's what those are the majority of the time.
And you've done a better job of communicating that to us in a meaningful way.
There's also bills that are, there's a bill that's being introduced tonight, I think. Like the NIFON project was well under budget.
Right.
And so so you're appropriating that to several other sidewalk and street projects. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
Yes, sir.
Anything else? Pat?
The other half of that question, Mr. Liu, if it's bond, you said if it's not bond related, if it is bond related.
It has to be spent on whatever was listed for those.
And does that move without council having to give interim approvals?
I don't believe so. Yeah, Marissa's shaking.
Somebody's shaking their head.
You guys do have to have approval for that. Administratively, we can move it back to the bond project with an application. We cannot move it to another bond project.
And what happens where? I know this is getting away from the CIP, but in the bigger picture. So there's bond money available to do a project, and for whatever reason, the project's on hold. Doesn't matter why, it's just on hold. How do we account for that to ourselves so that we know that we keep that in the front of our minds, and also to the public? Does that, if it's not underway, is there a place where citizens can regularly go to know, oh, this one is treading water for a period of time because we don't have, for whatever reason? Is there a particular place that is parked for us to look at?
I think the only place that you would see a project that, you know, is kind of stalled out is in the CIP. And I think that's kind of like...
And that would be what the mayor was referring to?
Yes, where it's in the CIP, but it's not funded.
So would an example be that electric line that was supposed to go down NIFON back in 2015 or 2016?
Yeah.
We bonded, well, we had $30 million appropriate, or we were planning to spend that amount. We bonded about 15, 12 to 15 million for that, and then we spent 3 million. So because that's a bond, is the rest of that money just hanging out?
Yes, until there's another project
so we
utilize those funds.
Could we use it for another electric project then? I mean, does it have...
So they've actually taken phase two of that project that would have been funded with the second part of that bond and moved those up to the front and used that to buy substation and other parts.
Okay.
So we're not paying interest on borrowed money for stuff we haven't spent yet. They've just front-loaded some other projects.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
I understand it too.
Okay. Just looking for clarification.
Maybe a better example.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the one that came to my mind. So.
Anything else? You have 18 minutes to use the restroom.
Whoa. I don't know if we can handle that. All that time, we might be able to start on time.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate this.